the message of it, and it is just exciting. Well, good morning. It's good to see you. Thank you for worshiping with us today. We're going to look at Psalm 84. Now, we have looked at Psalm 84. This will be our third time looking at Psalm 84 in this series. Perhaps today it'll be the last time, and we'll move on from this point. As you're turning in your Bibles to Psalm 84, may I invite you to come out tonight and have supper with us. You're going to eat supper somewhere. You might as well eat with us. Come fellowship with us. Be a part of this family. You know, some people like to keep their distance for one reason or another. But it's time to come on and pull up a seat at the table and be family. Come on, come out, be a part. Get to know the people that you're worshiping with. And let's be family together. Let's be the body of Christ together. When you're not here, you're missed. We love you. So come out and just make that a part of your evening, all right? You'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy it. We have a good time. This gets to be a rowdy bunch sometimes. So they're a lot of fun. So come out, and you'll be glad you did. May I remind you of two things coming up? We have a thriving small group ministry going on. The Holy Spirit has just really put that together and organized some groups that are getting together. And if you would like to be a part of one, there's room in one of these groups for you. We have a group. Brother Bruce has got a group that meets, and Brother Tom has got a group that meets. And now there is a ladies' group forming. And I was told to tell you. My wife sent me a message. My wife, by the way, is out. She's a little sick. And I believe she made Miss Debbie sick. So our apologies while we're talking about that. Sorry about that. Sorry about the sickness in your home. But there's a small group forming for ladies. They're going to meet on Tuesday mornings from 8:30 to 9:30. And you're welcome to sign up if you'd like in the foyer. There's a little sign up out there. The occasion is, the situation is, some ladies feel like they may not be able to make every one. Come when you can. You're welcome. It's an open group. Come when you can. I believe they're going to meet at Colleton Coffee downtown, Walterboro. And should be a fun time, a great time of fellowship. They're going to be a good time around coffee. Amen. Amen. Is there any coffee drinkers we got in the house? You mentioned coffee, and you got me, but they're not going to allow me in the group. So, ladies, enjoy that fellowship. It should be edifying and encouraging. Also, we've got some fantastic news. As you know, we have a children's ministry that is gaining some traction and momentum and moving forward. We have some flyers in the foyer. We want to invite you to take some flyers with you. It is this Friday. They're having their movie night, okay? And there's going to be pizza and popcorn, fun games. I think there's a craft. They're going to watch a Spider-Man movie. I mean, the kids are just going to have a blast this Friday from 6 to 9 p.m. Now, this is our part. We take a flyer and we invite a family that has some small children from 3 to 11. That's our target, right? Children 3 to 11. So, church, this is one of our strategies for reaching Walterboro. We're reaching out, showing them we care, showing them we have something for them, showing them we love them. So if you would, be a part of that. We all know a family with some young children. Let's reach out to them. Let's personally invite them. And Let's watch the kids have a good time. We're going to try to have a major event like that once a month. So I know they're planning some hot dog suppers, fall festival, something for Christmas. They've got some plans in the works, and I'm excited about them. And let's get behind this and help promote this, and let's just watch what God does. It's such an exciting time to serve the Lord here at Doctor's Creek. So, hopefully I've given you some time to find Psalm 84. So, as we consider this text, we are looking at the series on the Psalms that we're looking at right now. We're looking at a heart consumed by the greatness of God. And over the last couple of weeks, as we looked at Psalm 84, it felt like heart surgery as the Lord examined our hearts and kind of showed us where our hearts are. Are our hearts really focused on the Lord? So now, today, we look at that topic, a heart centered on God. And let me tell you, as we have approached this, there has been a lot of conviction, at least for me. And I have seen my lack and my need, that I need to really surrender my heart. But let me tell you something. You can't change your heart. You can't really make yourself a better person. Try as you might, determine that you're going to do better. And how's that working out for you? We end up failing more than we succeed, don't we? That's kind of one of the frailties of a human, that we will see our need, we will see where we fail, and we will go, oh, well, I'm just going to stop doing that, and I'm going to start doing better. And we do it in our own strength, and we see the limitations of our strength pretty soon, don't we? We see, this is only as far as I can go. I was able to be a better man, a better husband, a better friend, a better pastor for about 2 minutes. And then I was confronted with my weakness. I was confronted with my limitations. But that's where God's grace picks up. Where we fail, He is faithful. When we trust Him, when we surrender to Him, when we put it in His hands, when we get our eyes off of our sin and off of us, and we put it on Him, we put our attention on Him, when we are praising Him instead of worrying about our failures, something happens that can't really be explained. He takes over. And all of a sudden, you'll realize, I'm not really doing this in my strength, but I'm doing better. I'm a better spouse. I'm a better friend. I'm being a better Christian. And it's the Lord living through me. Jesus guiding me. The Holy Spirit empowering me. Grace motivating me. This is the lifestyle that we aim for. That Christ would live through us, that He would make us what we are not, He would finish the good work He started, that He would transform us, sanctify us, mature us. The Christian life is a life of growth. And unfortunately, that's not always been preached. Traditionally, teaching and preaching was to get you to raise your hand, come forward, shake the pastor's hand, and we'd get a decision that we could count and that we would promote and that we would say, oh, this, look, we're doing so good. We had such and such decisions this last month. That was a mistake. Because the Scriptures teach us not to count decisions, but to make disciples. And let me tell you, Doctor's Creek in the future, we're going to be leaning really hard into that. We're about making disciples here. We're about growing, not staying the same for years and years, but we're about growing, thinking about what is that next step the Lord would have me take? How can I? And that's what we looked at last week. Well, what are some things the Holy Spirit would like for me to do to to obey Him more, be closer to Him, right? But it is that grace of God that does the work in us. You're really not capable of sanctifying yourself. You're really not capable of maturing in and of your own strength. It has to be the Lord working in you. At the end of this service, I'm going to direct you to two prayers, two very simple prayers, to ask the Lord to do a work in you. Number one, because we can't do it ourselves. Number two, because he does it just right. And we all want to take those next steps in our faith. We don't want to stay at the level we're at right now. But the joy of the Christian life is growing in the Lord. And you know, there are times where we lose the joy. There are times where we lose the motivation. We wonder, why is it not like it used to be? We've stopped growing. So today we take a step back into that joy, committing ourselves back into the Lord's hands, asking Him to guide our next steps, for Him to do the work in us. And I believe today the Lord will do that work in us if we surrender to Him and ask Him to do it. So we see, let's say we want to take the next step. What direction do we take the next step? Well, I'm glad you asked. Psalm 84, verses 6 through 12, those seven verses paint a wonderful portrait of spiritual maturity for us. What is that spiritual maturity? To have a heart centered on God. A heart centered on God. A heart focused. A heart so devoted that He is the highest thing. That He is the goal. That He is the purpose. That our thoughts, our efforts, our attention, our lives, our passions all lead to Him. And they lift Him up as the highest thing in our lives. To the point where we see that He is worthy of everything we can give Him. Bad news, we're not there yet. Good news, God is taking us step by step there. That's where we're headed, toward that maturity, to have a heart really centered on Jesus, to have a heart centered on God. So we need a picture of what that looks like. This passage provides that picture. And we need that picture because if we're not careful, we get real comfortable in our religious routine. We get real comfortable coming to church on Sunday mornings. We get real comfortable with two songs, a prayer, and a 45 minute message. We get real comfortable in the routines we have established, and we'll get to a point where we're no longer making progress. Here are some signs that your walk with God may be becoming stagnant. You may have plateaued. You may have stopped growing. Here are some signs. And just see if maybe some of this resonates with you, okay? All right? Here are some signs. Signs that I'm not growing like I want to grow. I no longer sense that vibrancy in my Christianity that I once felt at one time. I'm no longer developing. I'm no longer being challenged. I'm no longer transforming. I don't sense that transformation happening in my life that at one time I did sense. I no longer have the joy, and we talked about that a moment ago. I no longer have the joy that I used to have. I'm no longer passionate, no longer motivated, excited. But I feel the absence of that, and I miss it that I used to have. No longer motivated. I feel like I'm doing this out of obligation. I'm doing it because I'm supposed to. I'm doing this so I don't feel bad. That's no fun. That's not what this is supposed to be about. That doesn't work. So, if any of that resonates with you, good news today. The Lord wants to bring you into a place of joy. The Lord wants to renew that motivation. The Lord wants to help you get back on track. And so that you would enjoy following Christ. You realize He is to be your heart's delight. He is to be what satisfies your soul. Your reason for living. The pearl of great price. The treasure worth finding. Oh my. And friend, if you don't have that joy, He wants to show you that joy. So, it's important to see what direction we should be growing in. Let's look at the text so that it can speak to our lives and show us the direction where we should be making these next steps. We have the privilege of together opening the Word of God and peering into it. Would you stand to your feet as we look at Psalm 84, beginning with verse 6. Psalm 84, verse 6. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in You. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Now, we'd like to gather our thoughts around three headings. Those whose heart is centered on God, number one, are seeking God. Number two, those whose heart is centered on God, they desire to be as close to God as possible. They have that change in their heart where they desire to be as close to God as possible. And number three, this is going to be the tricky one. This is going to be the point I'm going to have to be very careful about because it can be misunderstood. We're going to be very careful to go by the text. And this is that those whose heart is centered on God can expect certain blessings of God. And we'll get more to that in just a minute. But let's look at our first one. Those whose heart are centered on God, they are seeking God. So let's look at the text. Verse 7. The text, and you may go, why are you skipping verse 6? We'll get to that. We'll get to that in a minute. But first, let's look at verse 7. They go from strength to strength. This is a progression. This is a process. The Lord does a work in your heart and in your life, makes you stronger, and then brings you from that place of strength to a better place of strength. You go from strength to strength. As we near closeness to God, we grow stronger. We grow much more mature. Some may call it sanctification. Some may call it discipleship. We are getting closer to the Lord step by step, glory to glory, grace to grace, strength to strength. We were never intended to stop. It's a good place for you to say amen. The problem is we get comfortable. We find an easy resting place in our walk, a place where maybe we feel comfortable and we camp out. We stop the progression. We stop growing. The Lord would have us consider to go from strength to strength until each appears before God in Zion. That's the next part of the text. You see, this relationship with God has a goal. It has a purpose. It has a destination. Till each appears before God in Zion. We are growing to be closer to the Lord, to have a closer relationship, to know Him better and better, to be more like Him than we were before, to serve Him more faithfully, to love Him more ardently, to be more surrendered to Him, to better reflect Him. All right? So there is a goal. And in this goal, God becomes the object of our desires. Our passions become about Him and less about other things. We begin to set our eyes on God and look at this world less and less. Look at ourselves less and less. He becomes what matters. He becomes what's most important to us. And so the bride, that's who we are, the bride falls in love with the groom. And you've heard it said of those young folks in love. You'll hear it said, she's got eyes only for him. Right? Maybe you'll hear it said of him, he can't take his eyes off of her. Right? Should not that be said of us as we consider Jesus? I'm afraid the bride of Christ is looking around. I'm afraid there are times we get focused on distracting things and we give our heart to less worthy loves. Lord, consume us that I have eyes only for you, that I love only you, that I give myself only to you, that I separate myself from this world, and that I would be caught up, obsessed, captivated by who you are. Lord, let me see your greatness and love only you. Amen. Verse 8, the psalmist says, hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty, listen to me. Now, that phrase, Lord God Almighty, if we were to look at that in the Hebrew, that is Yahweh Elohim Sabaoth, which really translates into Yahweh, God of Heaven's armies. You may see it in some translations, Lord God of hosts. And what that is communicating is he's taking a look at the mightiness of God, and he says, this is the one who commands the all-powerful heavenly host, the assembly of warring angels of heaven. He is the God of might. He is able to conquer. He is the ultimate victor over every one of his foes. He is the one able to protect, able to vindicate, able to provide, able to deliver you out of whatever bondage you are in. And in this moment of closeness, he says, this is the one I'm praying to. I'm not just speaking to a warm feeling. I'm not speaking to, you see some of those pictures of Jesus? There's never been a good picture of Jesus. Remember, I used to go to a church when I was a kid, and we had this really poor representation of Jesus. He was supposed to be in the Garden of Gethsemane, and his hair was just so, he looked like he'd come out of a hair commercial, a shampoo commercial, and he looked like he was wearing your grandmother's drapes. He was just covered up in this satinly, just laying just so, and he was poised up on this rock. Forgive me for doing that, I'm sorry. But he was just laying perched on this rock, so serene, so sublime. That is not the Son of God. He is mighty. He is fierce. He is the Lion of Judah. He is the Prince of Heaven. And he is holy and majestic. And he will single-handedly, with a word, conquer the armies of earth. He holds all things together by the power of his word. He is the creator, and all things were created by him and for him. The reason you live, the reason your heart beats and you draw breath is to give him the glory due his name. That's the one we pray to. We pray in Jesus' name. How casually we have approached the throne of grace. Without thought to who he is and what he is able to do. We should tremble before his majesty. At the same time, be unafraid to get close, because he is the one who says, call me Father. Just come right up here and tell me where it hurts. I love you so much. Don't you see the wonderful dynamic of who he is and who he wants to be to you? That's the one we pray to. So, as we continue to look at our text, verse 9 says, look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Look on our shield. Give attention to our protection. Hasn't the Lord protected you? If it hadn't been for the Lord, where would we be? I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have made it here. But the Lord is merciful, and the Lord is able, and the Lord has protected us all, and the Lord has been good to us, amen? So a heart centered on God is seeking God. You may say to yourself, I don't think I seek him like I should. I don't either. There's room to grow over here. All right? And it's good that we see there's room to grow. We see it not to feel condemned, but to be convicted. There's a big difference. Today, if you're feeling condemned, that is not the Spirit of God. But if you're feeling convicted, well, that is the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of conviction says, you can do better. I can help you. Surrender to me. Let me help you. Conviction draws you closer to God. Condemnation makes you want to run and hide from him. Let the Lord convict you. Respond to it. Repent and believe. That's the way we respond to sin around here. That's the biblical way of responding to sin. Repent of it. Turn from it. Lord, that was wrong. I don't want to do that. I turn from my sin and I turn to you and I believe in you. I believe in you in such a way that I'll worship you and I'll make you Lord of my life and I'll do my very best in my weakness to obey you. So, those whose heart are centered on God, they seek God. They also desire to be as close to God as possible. Verse 10, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. This is comparing one day of closeness with God to endless days anywhere else. And this is the goal that we have for our hearts. This is not where I am. This is not where you are. All right? There are days I want to be somewhere else. There are some days I want it easier. There are some days I want to be snorkeling in the Bahamas. Okay? But the goal, the aspiration, is that I would see God's presence as so refreshing, so rewarding, so joyful, that is the place I want to be more than anything else. That I wouldn't trade it for the world. That if you said, Todd, I'll send you on a cruise to the Bahamas for 10 days, or you can have an intimate time with the Lord. I'll say, give me that time with the Lord. Give me that time with the Lord. Because it will touch my soul in a way that nothing else can. All right, so Jesus predicted that the love of many would become cold. Matthew 24, verse 12, he said, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Now, he's talking about those that love him. So who's he talking about? The church. The church. He predicted a day where those who loved him, their love would grow cold. Now, as I live and experience and become wiser, I can see this is happening today. Can you see that? That's the reason this church is not full. That's the reason we sometimes struggle to engage. That's why sometimes some songs we sing in worship, they connect, they resonate. And some songs, you're just kind of going through the motions, right? Because our hearts are tempted to get cold. Verse 10 continues, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. So we see that this psalmist, their desire above all else, they said, you know what? I desire to be close to God. I want to be somewhere where I can be close to God. So this desire has influenced his decision. He says, you know what? I could have a place and position where I'm in a place of prominence, a place of lordship and authority, a place where I'm doing pretty well for myself, away from the Lord, or I could be a humble doorkeeper in his house. I think I'll choose to be a doorkeeper because it satisfies my desire to be close to him. I would rather be beside him in a humble place than be a lord far away from him. And so his desires have influenced his decisions and it has plotted the direction of his life. Do you know that your desires influence your decisions? And those desires and those decisions plot your direction. You're either in a life trajectory getting closer to the Lord or getting further and further away. What's the trajectory of your heart and your life? Moving on, a heart centered on God is seeking God. A heart centered on God desires to be closer, as close to God as possible. And a heart centered on God can expect certain blessings of God. Now let's look closely at the text. Let's return to verse 6. It is critical. Verse 6, this is the verse that made no sense when we first read it, right? As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. Now, the reason this doesn't make sense to us is we don't know what the Valley of Baca is. But the Valley of Baca has some other names. You see, it was known as a very arid region, very dry region. It was a harsh region in land. It was difficult to live there, difficult to travel through there. It also had some other names. It was the Valley of Thirst, and it was also the Valley of Tears. Chances are you've been through the Valley of Baca. You see, as the Valley of Thirst, you're living in a place where you don't have everything you need. Valley of Tears, you're living in a place of suffering, a place of struggle, a place of heartache. Chances are you've been through the Valley of Baca. Are you hearing me? You've suffered. You've shed tears. You've cried out to the Lord, Lord, I don't have everything I need. This is a picture of difficult times, hard seasons in your life, a place of lack where you didn't have enough. But when a believer goes through hard times, they learn to put their faith in God. Your trust, if you're a believer, You have a a decision in hard times. Your trust, either you either lose trust in God and give up and walk away, or your trust grows. Chances are each believer in this room can point back at a time that was difficult in your life, and your faith grew. You became more rooted in God. You trusted Him through the hard times in a way that you would not have trusted Him if things were going easy. Do I have a witness? That's what God does. You see, God never puts us in a place of hardship without a purpose, without a strategy. And sometimes He allows us to go through hard times because it will draw us closer to Him. And so there is the Valley of Baca. There is no going through the Valley of Baca without depending on the Lord. So we meet with God in the deserts of our lives. And right now you may be going through a desert. The chances are, with this many people, there are some in here who are going through the Valley of Baca. And you know it. And you feel it. You feel the heaviness. You know the burden. You have cried the tears. You feel the sorrow. You have prayed those prayers of desperation. And you wonder, God, do you hear me? Do you care? Are you there? Will you do something for me? Do you know what I'm talking about? I think you do. The promise, the encouragement, is that in this Valley of Baca, God gives refreshment of His closeness. As they pass through the Valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. Springs don't happen in the Valley of Baca. It's a dry place. It's an arid place. There is no water. But God gives the water of His refreshment. God makes it a place of springs where He refreshes our soul. You ever been just talking to the Lord and all of a sudden you sense His closeness? It just seems like He just stepped forward and made Himself closer than He was before. You ever been reading through the Word and all of a sudden something just made sense? You're like, is He speaking? You get a little scared. Is He speaking to me? Yeah. He is. Yeah. You ever been in church and you go, that crazy fat pastor, he just spoke right to me. How did he know? I don't know. But the Holy Spirit just translates it to your need. You ever feel like the Lord touched you exactly where you were hurting? He gives refreshment in the Valley of Baca. The Lord is good. The Lord is merciful. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. Now the picture is this, that while you're going through the place of dryness, the place where you feel like it's going to crush you, all of a sudden the rains come. Can you imagine? The rains come. And the water doesn't just drain away, but it pools up so that you can take your time and you can cool yourself and you can get refreshment and you can rehydrate from being so parched. That is the mercy of God. That is the kindness of God. That is the compassion of God. That is God showing you, I love you and I'm going to take care of you. Let me tell you, if you have been seeking God and getting as close to Him as you possibly can, when you go through seasons in the Valley of Baca, He's there. He hasn't left you. He hasn't abandoned you. He hasn't put you out in a place far from Him, but He's right there beside you, offering pools of refreshment. He goes with us. He goes with us. The Lord God is a sun and shield. He's the sun. He's the giver of light. He's warmth. He's energy. What spoke to me is the sun's relationship to the earth. And let me tell you, the psalmist didn't know this, but the Holy Spirit did. You see, it's the sun that holds the earth in its orbit. And what does that tell me? God is the sun. He holds you right in the place you need to be. He is the one that sustains you. He is the one that keeps you. He is the shepherd of your soul. He is a shield. He is the protector. God places himself between you and harm in ways that we don't even understand. I'm out of time, so I'll skip right to this part at the end, verse 11, about halfway through verse 11. Scripture says, no good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless, from those whose sins are forgiven by Christ. Now, this is a direct contradiction to the lie of the serpent in the garden. Remember the lie of the serpent? When Eve looked at the fruit on the tree, she said, oh, we can't touch that or we'll die. And the serpent said, you will not certainly die. Where'd you get that idea? The serpent said, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. The lie of the serpent was, God is holding out good things from you. God is keeping his best from you. Why, God could give you such wonderful things, but he's holding out on you. That was the lie. And when she was told that lie, it did some terrible things in her soul. To the place where she was rebellious. To the place where she had known fellowship with God, and now she was willing to be outside of that fellowship. She was willing to disobey God. This truth of this scripture tells us God would never do such a thing. That's not who God is. God will not withhold something that's truly good for you. If it's really good for you, God wants it for you. But if it will distract you, if it will be a temptation for you, if you would be tempted to place it, to love it more than you love the God who gave it, if it would be a distraction, a cause for you to stumble in your faith, an occasion for you to fall, it's in God's mercy that he not give it to you. I've got more, but we're out of time. As we consider how we should respond to this, I want to direct you to maybe two prayers. These prayers are a surrender to God. These prayers are asking God for his help. For him to do in us what we cannot do for ourselves. Do you remember the text? Better is one day close to you than 1,000 elsewhere. Sometimes my heart can't say that. So I want to ask the Lord to help me. Help my heart to love you more. If you see there's room to grow in your heart, could I encourage you? Lord, help me to love you more. Lord, help me to be more passionate. Help me, Lord, to be more captivated by who you are. Help me to fall deeper in love with you. Help me to love you more. Secondly, maybe you've been going through the Valley of Baca and it's been a dry place, a sorrowful place, a hard place, a season that I don't know how I'm going to do it. Today, I want to encourage you to cry out to the Lord. Lord, would you refresh me in the Valley of Baca? It's been hard. Would you encourage me? Would you be close to me? Would you refresh me with your presence, with a word of encouragement? Lord, would you let me know you're close to me and you love me? So as we pray, I encourage you to ask the Lord to help you love him more. And Lord, refresh me in this dry season. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we turn to you. We surrender to you. We see the finish line in front of us, Lord, that you want us to have a heart centered and focused on you. And Lord, at times we just can't say that is true of us. So Lord, we ask for your help. We ask, Lord, for your encouragement. We ask you, God, to do in us what we cannot do for ourselves. Lord, would you help our hearts to love you more? And Lord, for those right now who are praying that prayer to you, Lord, I pray your divine grace in their life. Lord, help them. Help them to do what they cannot do for themselves. Lord, help their heart to grow in its affections for you and for the things of God. Lord, for those right now who are going through places of hardship and struggle, dry valleys that are hard to be in, Lord, I pray as they cry out to you, Lord, I pray for your encouragement. Lord, I pray for your direction. Lord, I pray for your refreshment. Lord, I pray that they would sense your closeness and know that you love them. Let them know that you hold them in your very hand, that you are their son and you are their shield. Lord, I pray that you would hold no good thing from them. Lord, we thank you for your constant love. We thank you, Lord, that you order our steps. We thank you that our lives are in your hands. And Lord, we surrender to you for you to do your work in us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.